And here's a key, people, that I want you to take home with you. A key to how the church copes with opposition to the faith is always earnest prayer. Always earnest prayer. When we hit the brick wall, we go to God. Say, God, I pray earnestly for this.
We'll get to the rest of Pastor Mark's message in just a moment, but first we want to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black. We'll have more information about the church and how to contact us at the end of the podcast, but for right now, let's join Mark for this week's message.
Good morning. I have the scripture reading. It's taken from Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 19. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the feast of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for the public trial after the Passover, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a service girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was a great commotion among the soldiers. "What could have happened to Peter?" they asked. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed.
Thank you, Amy. This particular passage of Scripture is an exciting Scripture. I've been excited to preach this particular sermon. Before I get going, I do want to have a word of prayer. It always came to mind the prayer that my mom had on the wall. It said, "Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough." And probably that is the message that should be given to preachers, okay? Fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at your word, we pray that Satan does not snatch the Word of God from our hearts. That, Lord, Your Word with Your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, make us strong, and that, Lord, we will retain that Word in our lives and in life application. I thank You, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Teach us. And, Lord, do fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the time is around 43 A.D. now. It's 13 years after the crucifixion of Jesus. And the person that was persecuting the church was called Herod. Now, there were many Herods in the Bible. There was Herod the Great. And you may have remembered Herod the Great as the one that slaughtered the children in Bethlehem. But this was the grandson of, the great-grandson of Herod the Great. And the place of imprisonment was the fortress of Antonia. The prisoner is the Apostle Peter. And the situation is that earlier, James, the brother of John, was put to death by sword. And now, Peter is probably next. The mental and spiritual condition of Peter is that he's sound asleep on the night he is about to be killed. Interesting. Of course, some people have always thought that Peter had sleep apnea, because he was always sleeping. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was sleeping. And here, he is sleeping. And what was the church doing? They weren't sleeping. In verse 5, they were earnestly praying. Earnestly praying. In fact, Peter was ready to die. And I think that's why he was sleeping, not sleep apnea. I think he had a peace that God was with him no matter what. He's in prison. He's sound asleep. The night before his trial, Herod had already killed James, the brother of John. And Peter is quite aware of his situation. But he seems to be okay regardless of the outcome. And the church is meeting. They're gathering together. They're meeting in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. You know Mark. You know, Mark was the one that wrote the gospel. Mark was a companion of Paul for that first missionary journey. It seems to be the place where the church met often to pray. Some also believe this was the place where the Last Supper was. Now, there's no proof of that. Now, John Mark is the cousin of Barnabas, the friend of Paul. You may remember that John Mark had a falling out with Paul, and later, they were reconciled. So this very dear friend may have been spending his last night in jail before dying in the morning, and the church is earnestly praying. The church had gathered for that purpose of praying. They too knew what had happened to James, the son of Zebedee. And the Bible says they've been praying all night. They've been praying constantly. You know, I love it when God's people pray. I really do. I love it when God's people pray. Doesn't matter what time of night. It doesn't matter when. God's people just pray. And that is so very important. The early church believed in the power of prayer. And so should we. Now, secondly, I believe that there are times when God truly intervenes in such things. And that's what God did. He sent his angel to rescue Peter. And you say, how great that was. But you may ask about, what about James and Stephen? God didn't intervene there, did he? I mean, they died. What happened to God? Where was God when they were in trouble? Why didn't he save them? You know, I don't have all the answers for everything. But I can tell you that God was there all the way with them. I can tell you that. Before Stephen died, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. In all things, we must submit to the sovereign will of God. And that sometimes may mean that he doesn't intervene, but he is there. We must be willing, like Daniel's friends. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? They say, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. You see the important thing? Even if he doesn't save us, that's okay. And I think Peter had that kind of peace. He was in that cell and he says, Lord, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You are sovereign God and I'm okay with it. I'm all right. And the church is praying. You see, the important thing, people, is obedience and faithfulness to God. That is so important. I think Peter was at peace because he was going to do what he needed to do regardless of the consequence. Now, I think this is a little bit funny because Peter had to be poked in the side to get up. Now, you know what that's like, guys. Yeah. You know what that's like. You're sitting there in the sermon, it's getting a little bit warm. Your eyes start to bat. And then all of a sudden you feel, whoom! And you go, yes! Well, Peter was in the same way. Yeah, my wife, when I started snoring, she used to say, no, 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 no. And then I would feel the boomp. I've been able to wake up before the boomp ever took place. I get the second no and I understand. Okay, all right, turn. I'm turning. But Peter had to be poked in his side, and while he's still dazed, he's told that he has to get up and get dressed. And the chains fell off the guards next to him. I wanted to sing, my chains are gone. Because, my, that's exactly what happened. And they're sound asleep also. They don't really know what's going on. And the angel takes him past Peter's guards, chained to him, and then past the other two or four or whatever set of guards and into the street. Now, can you imagine that? Woo! And here's the comical part. I love this story. Rhoda, the servant girl, is so excited about seeing Peter, she forgets to let him in. She leaves the door closed. Peter's out there knocking. Hey! You know what? Here's the sad part. Here's the sad part. Those who are inside praying don't believe her. Isn't that just like us? To pray for something and then say, well, it just can't be. And they don't believe her. In fact, they chalk it up to must have seen Peter's angel or something. What? You believe that over what God can do? And God is able to do anything. And Peter explains how the Lord has brought him out of prison. You see, what happened when Peter told them, and they eventually let him in, he comes in and he tells them, you know what he did? He gave full credit to the Lord. And people, that's a principle we need to do. When God answers our prayer, we need to say, the Lord has answered my prayer. Give him full credit. Give him the glory, great things he has done. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. The church needed to see the power of God in action. How many times do we pray for something, God gives us a surprise? That's a good thing. The people were surprised, but God was with them. How true that is. And here's a key, people, that I want you to take home with you. A key to how the church copes with opposition to the faith is always earnest prayer. Always earnest prayer. When we hit the brick wall, we go to God. Say, God, I pray earnestly for this. We need to pray. People, our reliance is on God Almighty. He's the one that's in control, and He holds all things in His hand. Amen? You know, James 4 is kind of interesting. James 4, chapter 4, verse 2 and through 4 says, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, that's why we always pray, thy will be done. Thy will be done. We must ask, but with proper motives. And the church was astonished that God would intervene in such a way. I've heard it said, be careful what you ask for, you just might get it. Yeah. Well, Herod questioned the guards and determined that they should be executed. Isn't that just like Herod? We're not going to let the truth out. We hold them responsible. And he had to kill someone, so they didn't know what happened to Peter. They couldn't explain it. And so they were killed. You know, I was listening to the news the other night. There's been a lot of stuff about lottery. You know, now I don't play the lottery. I want you to know that. I don't do that. I don't believe in the gambling and things like that. But I was just listening to the news, and they're talking about the lottery. And this is what they said. Ohioans won $17 million and never bothered to collect their prizes. $17 million, never bothered to collect their prize. I was thinking about that. How many people have never bothered to be saved? How do you put a price tag on that? They've never come to the point of salvation. They've missed out on all of the blessings of God that God wants to bless us with. They've missed out on all of His counsel, the guidance that He gives us. They've missed out on the peace that He can give us. They've missed out even on the joy He gives us. They've missed out on eternal life. You know, God calls us today. He says, I want you to be my child. And He offers you eternal life. We can't earn it. Nothing that we can do to earn salvation. But He says, here it is. You got it if you believe in my Son, Jesus Christ. And so He asks us to believe in Jesus. He asks that we confess Him, that He is the Son of God, the Word that became flesh, dwelt among us. He asks that we have faith in Him and repent of our sins, and to be immersed into Jesus for the remission of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then have the time of your life on this journey of life. It's a great thing to be a Christian. I happen to believe that with all my heart. A great thing to walk with Him and to finally walk with Him all the way to heaven. As a little kid, I used to love the story about Johnny Appleseed. You remember that? The angel's going to take him up to heaven. At the very end of that story, I used to listen to that. I had I'm telling my age. I had a 78 record. And it had a book, and you could follow it along in the book. And I'd listen to that over and over, because that angel said, come on, come on. He says, oh, I got things to do, places to go. I've got lots to do. And the angel says, come on, come on. And the last page, when I opened that book, they're walking up to heaven. And I thought, that picture always stuck in my mind. And I said, Lord, I want to go the journey with You. And when I walk up to heaven, I'll be talking to You. We'll be walking hand in hand. And we'll just go straight up into heaven together. Now that's a joy. I don't want you to miss out on that. And God wishes all to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to believe in His Son. I don't know, maybe there's someone here today that doesn't believe in Jesus. Or you've not made that decision. It's kind of like that lottery ticket sitting there. You just haven't done it. You need to do it. Christ is the only way to heaven. So believe in Him. Won't you make that decision today? Or maybe you've been working. You want to work in the kingdom of God. Boy, we can use workers. We most certainly can. Maybe you'd like to be a member and serve our Lord here. Won't you come?
Thanks for listening to the weekly podcast. We really hope you get a chance to worship with us sometime at Beechwood Christian Church. We're located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on our website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and we would love to have you join us. Again, thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you and your family.